I'm going to sing a song for you this morning that I've sang before, but it's one of my favorites, and I hope that you'll enjoy it too.
Just And the congregation all said,
Amen.
We sometimes ask ourselves, or others maybe ask us, how do you know? How do you know? Can't you look around and see the greatness that God has given us?
Yes.
I mean, after every horrible rainstorm in the past 8 days, I saw a rainbow.
Yes.
The first promise from God to us. How wonderful that is. We are in the last book of the New Testament. In the book of Revelation, if you would, turn with me to chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 reads this way. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. I wept and wept. Dear Lord, let us see. Revelation not is a prediction of doom and destruction, but a promise of salvation and redemption and rewards. May we understand the cryptic way that it was given to John does apply to us as well. Father, we thank you for this week you've given to us, for the blessings and the learning opportunities as well. We pray for our nation and the men and women who serve it in the mission fields or on the battlefields, for those who make our land safer and stronger, who serve us in the schools, in the hospitals, and on the streets. Father, we pray for our congregation here. May we be strong in bonding together and show love to one another, and bring others here to see our love and know of your love. So be with the speaker this day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Then I saw on the right hand of he who sits on the throne, God. We've already talked about God sitting on the throne in the center of heaven. About the four living creatures last week that stood around him. The face of a bear and a lion, an eagle and a man with six wings and eyes all over them, showing the absolute power that God has. How they would fall down and worship him continually. All the 24 elders that surrounded the throne, just a sign of great strength and foreplanning by God. And God has a scroll. Now, best I can read in the Bible, they didn't carry around a little machine where you push numbers and it tells you how to get on the highway, or you push a number and somebody leads you a message, or you can get music. They actually wrote things down. I wonder, in my grandchildren's adult age, if there would be any written communication, whatever, if it's not going through a plastic and metal box with a little bitty print on it. Now, God had a scroll. A scroll in those days would be made of papyrus. It was a weedy plant, a pithy. And they would break open the center of it, and they would pull out the fibers. And they would soak them, and they would mash them around, and they would lay them out flat, and they would dry. And when one dried out, the fibers on the inside would be faced this way. The fibers on the outside would be faced this way. They'd be woven together. And you could write on both sides. A lot easier on the outside than the end. This is how they would send messages. How the original Bible scrolls were written down. You know, it was very well protected to have your Bible in your synagogue in those days. And later on in the city churches, they were taken care of. They were all written by hand. But on the throne, the king had a scroll in his right hand, writing on both sides and then sealed with seven seals. Now, I must admit, I've not been in a Hallmark store or stationery store in multiple years. But back when we were first engaged, back in 1969, on our graduation night, I went away to college 2 months later. Becky bought a seal. It had R on it. I don't know if that was for Rebecca or for Richardson, but one of those names will be soon changed. I'm assuming it was for Rebecca. And she would send me a letter, and she'd lick it and stick it, and then she'd get that wax melted, little blue. I remember it was blue. And she'd put it on the drop, and she'd go, put that on there, and it stuck. And I was looking at the, I wasn't looking for checks to come in. I wasn't looking for Sears and Roebuck catalogs. I was looking for a blue seal every day when I went to the post office two or three times a day to see where it was. And if that seal was cracked or broken, I figured somebody's getting my love letters. Yeah. It was a tradition, even up to the time of the kings of England, that once something was sealed in wax, it was not to be opened by anybody else but that person. And that was the only person that had the authority to break a seal. Well, this was sealed with seven numbers, and we know seven seals. We know the number seven is very important in the Bible. 7 days of creation, all the way through 7 days of the week, just all the different things. Who could open the seal? John, the Revelator, was greatly moaning and mourning that nobody was there worthy to break the seal. Well, how can you see what's inside if you don't open the envelope? Now, I've seen the old comedy shows where somebody would get a letter and they get a coffee pot. Remember the coffee pot, the little spout? That thing would whistle, and they'd hold it and they'd steam it open. Well, you didn't do that with a wax seal. It would break or melt, and that would give it away. Saul, a mighty angel. Now, remember, we often confuse the word angel with Valentine's Day and Cupid and the wings and shooting the arrows and bows and arrows and love and go in the Cracker Barrel and see all the snow globes with angels inside. Angel was also a messenger. The messenger spoke who is worthy to open the seal. Well, now the truth of the matter is nobody there would volunteer to open the seal because they knew it wasn't them. And to open the seal that was sent to someone beside you was illegal, punishable by death. So nobody spoke up. And they were moaning, you know, how do we know what's in it? Because we can't see, because we can't break the seals. No one in heaven or earth or under the earth. That means everywhere is what those three phrases mean in ancient Jewish writing. Everywhere. No one anywhere, everywhere could open. They couldn't look inside because it was rolled too tight. It's like trying to look down a roll of paper towels and see what's on about the third or fourth page. Of course, it doesn't happen. I wept, John said. I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Growing up, your brother or sister got a letter. You want to know what's inside, didn't you? I have to admit this, and I hate to admit this, but I have to admit this. One time, the teacher sent me down to the office to ask for a piece of paper and envelope. Good, I get to get out of class. I'm going to walk down the office and ask for a piece of paper and envelope. She wrote something on it, and she licked it and sticked it and said, take it to your mom and dad. Mr. and Ms. Elam, that was on the outside of the letter. Well, I was a curious individual. So I opened the letter accidentally on the way home on the school bus. And it simply said, Mr. and Ms. Elam, we need to talk. Because your son is not acting very well on his deportment in the class. Then cold chills ran down my spine. Do I destroy the letter? And then the teacher gets home, gets done getting a response from my parents, and she calls. Oh, do I give him the letter and explain to him how it just fell open on the bus? Well, I chose the latter, which was probably the better of the three decisions. No, it was the second best. First best would be don't open at all. But I was curious. That didn't go well when Dad got home. And I didn't do that again. One of the elders said to me, do not weep, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals. Don't give up. There is an answer, is what he was telling John the Revelator. The Lion of Judah, that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. The Root of David, that comes through the middle part of the Old Testament. The Lion of Judah. Of course, Judah was called the Lion Cub when he was blessed by his father. The Root of David means a descendant of David. There's only one person that fits that description. We know him as Jesus, the Redeemer, the Christ, the Savior. But they did have somebody that could do it. Then John said, I saw the Lamb, a Lamb, let's correct that, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The figurative language here is quite scary when you think about it. If you've ever seen an animal killed, particularly if it was brutally killed, it's something you don't forget. He said it looked as if he was slain. And he was. On Golgotha, by the Romans, under the leadership and the demand of the Jews, he was put to death. Could not have been a pretty sight because John knew that Jesus was figuratively called the Lamb of God. He had heard that over and over and over. Jesus had said to himself, the word there used for lamb is a different word than it's used in most of the Old and New Testament. It's mentioned 26 times in the book of Revelation and only 3 times in the rest of the New Testament. So it's a specific description of Jesus himself. And John would know the difference. I'm not talking about the little white things that run around. They have wool. No, this was the Son of God. And it's important for us to know that nothing else could take the place of Jesus on the cross. That our salvation would not come through if anything else had been sacrificed. The Jews had sacrificed goats and lambs and doves and grain and wine and bullocks for hundreds, yet thousands of years. And none of them ever destroyed Satan or defeated sin. It was only one specific perfect lamb, and that, of course, was Jesus, God's Son. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes. All right, that's a little bit freaky. A horn meant power in the time of ancient Israel. So he had the perfect number of power. 7 eyes, as many of the creatures we hear about, eyes everywhere, was to show that he saw all that went on. Once again, a perfect number. Now, we raise sheep. I know some of you have been in the farms and raised little sheep, and they're so cute when they're babies. They bounce around, and they run, and they wag that tail. They're just so darling. If you saw something that was slain, with 7 horns, 7 eyes, at first you might be scared or repulsed. Jesus did not come to win the beauty contest, the Mr. America contest, the Mr. Universe contest. He came to win our souls. So this showed what he had to go through to be the Savior of the world. He was slain. 7 eyes, 7 horns of power, which are the 7 spirits, God's spirits upon him. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, his father. He volunteered. He just went up and he said, may I not? He went up and took what he knew he was supposed to do. He was the leader of salvation for us. And in doing so, he acknowledged to John and to the rest of creation that he was there for one purpose alone, to bring salvation and forgive our sins. So he boldly took it. Did you ever meet a leader? Have you ever met a leader? I mean a true leader. They didn't demand your attention by forcing you. They didn't do like Hitler or Mussolini or Hirohito. You gave them your alliance, your allegiance, your desire to serve him. In my lifetime, you can think of some. In the field of the movies, it seemed to be John Wayne. Or Charlton Heston. Come over here, Pilgrim, you know, John Wayne. Charlton Heston, let my people go. In the real world, I can think of 2 just because of their speech ability. John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Could he not lay it, so, if you're not at least 60, I'm 55, You missed it. John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Let not ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Ronald Wilson Reagan. The House on the Hill. And people just lined up to follow them. You've met people like that, maybe in a social club you belong to or some kind of organization. You just wanted to be around them because when they spoke, you said, yeah, you're right. I couldn't have said it better because you said it best. And we want to follow them. That's who Jesus is. One who, when we know by his mere presence, the words he spoke. You've read the Sermon on the Mount, how beautiful it is. You've read these things that Jesus wrote and said and spoke. He didn't write them. He spoke them, others wrote them down. He was a true leader. And because of that, people lined up behind him. When he'd taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, the power in the center, each fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp. Now, we're not talking about the big harp that Groucho, not Groucho, the little Marx boy, a harp of Marx. We're talking about a small musical instrument, usually held in a lap. It led singing. It was usually there to introduce a new song, to show people the way. David also used it to calm down Saul in his rages. Each had a harp, were holding a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. A new song was sung and brought out any time the people realized God had done something special for them. Either spared them an event, something they wanted to thank him. That was a new song. They played the harp, which was music, and held the congregation attention and showed them. But the key to it here is the seven golden bowls of incense. Now, I'm not talking about a soup bowl. Their bowls were more like what we would call a salad plate or salad bowl. It would be fairly shallow with a small indention in it and out. And it held the prayers of the saints. It is thought by many who wrote in the Apocrypha, Tobit specifically, that the saint, that up to that time the prayers of the saints sanctified went through the angels and they presented them to God. Not much else is written about it but that. But they had the prayers of the saints, and they presented them to God. How important it is that we know that God gets our prayers. Last week, there was a show called The 500, I think, or 500 Questions, something like that. The first contestant they brought out was a man that went against the all-time Jeopardy champion, maybe 86, 90-some days, I don't know. And he's the one that battled with the computer, the IBM computer named Wilson. IBM has nothing on God. It may be very handy to have that little pocket computer, that cell phone tells you which direction to turn. But God knows better, knows more, and loves in return. So the bowls that contained the prayers of the saints. All right, now is when Dwight gets in trouble. It says the prayers of the saints. You have been told, I'm sure, many times, well, just pray. This talks about the prayers of the saints that sanctified those who have given their life to Christ, those who were baptized, those who have served him because he served them. That's who it says the prayers went through. Not just any and everybody. We often ask, why didn't God answer my prayer? It's maybe because we weren't prepared to pray it. They sang this, you are worthy to take the scroll, to break open its seals, because you are slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. From every tribe and language, from people, all the peoples and the nations, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests, to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. That's what the new song was. The acknowledgement that Jesus has taken out the things in between. We have access to God. And because we are the saints, the Christians, those who observe what God gave before us, we shall have the responsibility of leadership. We should be the ones that doesn't say, well, somebody fix this. We should be the ones and say, I'll help you fix this. Follow me. I will lead the way. And when we don't, we miss on the talents we have. I guarantee you, without a doubt, that we have more people who sing very well than get up here in front. You're just afraid to take the step. Well, nobody wants to hear me. I have nothing to say. Well, folks, that's not what it says right here. The sanctified and the priest to serve God. That's what our purpose is, to serve God. It can be done in many different ways. Then I looked, said John, and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. Don't worry about it. I've already done it. It means 100 million. Four zeros from here to over here. For one, 100 million. That's what it means. So that's the number of angels. That's a whole lot. And they sang this, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Do you talk to God enough? You remember the first prayer you ever prayed? "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." That's scary to a 5-year-old. A 6-year-old. But God wants to hear it from us anyway. The acknowledgement of who He is and what He's done and what He will do, because He's promised it to us, is something we just cannot give up on. And we've got to be very positive about that. We've got to be those leaders. And how do you lead? You don't lead from the back. You lead from the front. I rode a bus to public school for 12 years. Then I went to junior high. Thank you. I don't have to draw a picture of that one, do I? The bus driver sits in the front. He doesn't sit on the back seat and drive the thing. And to be a leader, that's what we need to be, in the front. Not because we're arrogant, but because we are confident that we are blessed by God. And when we don't do that, we lose an opportunity. How many opportunities have you lost? Oh, Billy Bob will do it. Mary Sue will do it. Somebody will do it. And when we take that attitude, nobody does it. So it's a challenge. It's an offer. It's a command that we are His leaders. The priest. The servants. And when we do that, whether anybody notices it or not, God does. And what He notices, He shall reward. Not because we ask for reward, but because that's who God is. Every creature in the heaven and on earth and in the sea and all them singing, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped. Again, worshiping God. And it can be done in small ways or great ways. The Apostle Paul said, "If I give my body to be burned, but have not love," or we can also translate that as a Christian charity, "I am nothing." How are you with God? Not just doing great deeds, but doing them for a reason. That's what He's looking for. You know, we need to be in prayer frequently and continually with God. Don't let the first time you be in prayer is when a tragedy occurs. He may not know it's you. He hadn't heard from you in a long time. I had a very difficult time this week. On Thursday, they rushed Olivia to the doctor, then to the hospital. Olivia had eaten trail mix and got choked on a chickpea. And she, with the bad lungs, started rasping and making terrible noise. And they had to go down her throat with some kind of about 9-foot-long tube. I'm sure it seemed that way to her. And grab a hold of it and pull the thing out. And Becky said when they got it done, she was crying and fussing at the same time. I think she was speaking an unknown language to those doctors and nurses, because they probably didn't want to hear how she felt about it. She's fine and doing well and back home. But you got to be familiar with God. Now, what the problem is, sometimes we only go to God as emergency relief. "Lord, I need this today. I'm not worried about yesterday. I didn't do anything yesterday, and I'm not holding any responsibility for tomorrow. But today, here's what I'd like you to do. We want to be familiar with God. So He does hear us, and He does listen. And with that famous line that we should never, ever forget, let your will, not mine, be done. Jesus did that. What did He do? Got Him killed. Got Him beaten. Got Him mocked. Laughed at. Scorned and scourged. What did He really do? He got Him the opportunity to take all of our sins and the sins of all mankind away so we can have Him as our Savior. See, Revelations is not scary. We just got to talk about it so that we understand it, so it makes sense, because we can put it to use. Look for the great things He's given you. Share them with others. Be obedient and receive that phrase He made, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." We give you the opportunity now to come forward. Pledge your life to Jesus. Be obedient to Him and serve Him. Karen, I didn't hear the number.
40.
40. Turn with us to hymn number 40 and stand as we sing. God too. The book of Revelation is a gift from God through Jesus, simply because, I don't even know if this is on yet or not. There we go. Simply because God loved us. And He wants us not to be afraid of the future, because we as Christians have Him in our future. We've studied for the past several weeks the seven churches, which